honoring parents.
Tyler Weber, 9 o'clock Tuesday morning, Sefer Mitzvot 211, Fear of Parents.
Fear, it's hard to, again, I struggled with the definition. I wrote fear slash awe. We could figure out, you know, the same issue exists, and it's not just a linguistic parallel, it's a substantive parallel. There is the mitzvah of Yirat Hashem, which is generally translated as fear of God, but probably more precisely would be translated as, you know, some kind of awe, not necessarily fear. Okay, so let's figure it out. The pasuk exists at the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, and the pasuk says, "Daber al kol adat b'nei Yisrael va'amar talehem kedoshim tihiyu." Ki kadosh ani Hashem elokeichem. Right, that's a standalone mitzvah, but it's part of the context. The pasuk says we should be kedoshim because God Himself is kadosh. And immediately afterwards, ish imo ve'aviv tira'u. It's awkward, right? Ish, a person, imo ve'aviv tira'u, should, again, fear or be in awe of his av and aim, ve'et shabbatotai tishmor, and also, by the way, he should keep Shabbos, ani Hashem Elokechem. Right? It's a loaded pasuk for a number of reasons. One is the awkward phrasing of ish imova aviv, right? It just says, for example, kabed et avicha ve'et imecha is a better phrasing than ish imova aviv tirao. Then you have to explain what Shabbos is doing in that pasuk. And finally, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, we've seen before, whenever a pasuk references, you know, Ani Hashem, there's something to be said there. Because most psukim don't necessarily have to say Ani Hashem, so it must be there for a drasha. Okay. So what are we going to do? First of all, if I ask you, what's the difference between, because we'll have to deal with this at some point, what's the difference between the mitzvah of Kabed et Avicha ve'et Imecha and the mitzvah of Ish imo v'aviv tira'u, which are both counted, obviously, by the Rambam, and intentionally so, as separate mitzvot min ha-Torah. Okay, let's make some progress. What would we say?
In Kibbutz, we talk about the land. We talk about Eretz Yisrael.
Okay, but that's a fancy drasha. Okay. But just the core, okay. Right? There is a mitzvah min ha-Torah of Kabed et Avicha v'et Imecha, and now there is another mitzvah min ha-Torah of Ish imo v'aviv tira'u. Okay? So obviously, they need to be separate things. Who wants to take a shot at it? What's the difference between to be mechabed your parents? It's simple stuff.
Are you talking about like practically? Like,
no,
they have to be two separate mitzvahs. They're counted as two separate mitzvahs. So I need some working definition of what the difference is between kibud horim and, you know, yirat or morah horim.
Doing for and listening to.
Right.
Okay, so do it in English terms so we can work through. One is... No. More precisely, one is, let's say, one is active, right? Okay. Kibud would be what?
Kibud would be actively doing something.
Doing something, good. And morel...
Listening to what they say to you. How they direct you.
Related to teaching?
Okay, no, that's from a different word.
You don't like that.
No, I like the first half. The second half is fine. I think the second half could be more precise. Between one is doing and one is, you're saying one is obeying. Okay? But obeying can be done how?
What is it?
Not contradicting them.
What is it? Passive?
Right. One is passive. Really, you can obey by not doing things.
Okay.
Right? You could be mechabed. What I want to work towards, not just because it's fancy, because I think it's true, is this is not the only example in the Torah of mitzvahs where you think to yourself, it could have been one, but it's two. What's the most famous example of a mitzvah? We have flip side mitzvahs. Let's do one that's easy, that we don't normally think of that way. Matzah and chametz are more or less flip side mitzvahs, meaning there's a mitzvah saseh to eat matzah. Now, of course, when you eat matzah, you're not eating chametz, because the definition of matzah is something that's not chametz. But there's also a prohibition on eating chametz, right? It plays out halachically thank you very much. With respect to women, where we say, why are women mechuyavos in the mitzvah of eating matzah, when in fact it's a classic example of what?
Mitzvah.
Mitzvah taseh shazman grama, a time-bound positive commandment. So the Gemara says, kol sheyeshno bebal tochal chametz, anybody who has the prohibition of eating chametz, against eating chametz, has the mitzvah taseh of eating matzah. There's a more famous example of that, and it's hinted to in the pasuk we just read, pasuk Gimel, ish imo vaviv tira'u. What's next? Shabbos. Yeah, that's exactly the case. On Shabbos, there's a mitzvah asay of keeping Shabbos, of zachor et yom ha-shabbat lekadosho, and there's a mitzvah lo ta'asay of shamor et yom ha-shabbat lekadosho. Practically speaking, one second, practically speaking, what's the asay of Shabbos? How do we narrowly mekayim the asay of Shabbos? Of zachor et yom ha-shabbat, kiddush. An act. How are we mekayim the aseh, the lota aseh of shamar yom haShabbos l'kadosho? Passively. So I want to suggest we'll have to work towards this and see sources. But it seems to me that if you say to yourself, "Wait, why is there a mitzvah aseh of kibud avaim and a mitzvah lota aseh of more of fear of your parents?" The truth is, it's not really fair, because fear of your parents is also a mitzvah aseh. It's a passive mitzvah sase. All I would suggest right away is that there are parallels to this. This is not the only place in the Torah where the subject matter lends itself to more than one mitzvah. Okay? And in my mind, one second, in my mind, the right parallel is, the way I see it at least, is kibud av va'em strikes me as an active mitzvah, and fear of your parents strikes me more as a passive mitzvah. A passive in the sense that when we see the definition, it involves not doing things as opposed to doing things. Yes?
You love parents. You don't fear them. I mean, you don't fear.
So you're saying you don't like my translation.
No. You don't fear. You like them. You do everything they have to do. But you don't fear them. They're my parents.
What can I do? I got a pasuk. You don't. The pasuk says, No, but I think it depends what the word mora means. You might be right that it doesn't mean fear. But what if I use the word reverence? Obviously, your children revere you.
Obviously.
Right? You know. That reverence, that's why I struggle to find the word, because it could be that fear is the wrong word. But, you know, again, if reverence works better for people, it's fine with me. We'll just have to figure out, in the end, we have to figure out how to do this mitzvah.
I'm just thinking time-related issues. Now that my father's no longer with me, there is a different level of reverence, which continues, which I didn't have when I was younger.
So you know what, I'm happy. I do want to touch on that. We saw 2 weeks ago that kibud av va'em clearly continues past death. It's not clear that Mora Avaim does. That might be one of the big distinctions. Again, we have to get to, you know, what it really means. Okay. Let's just figure out some fascinating things in the pasuk. If we compare, so Kabed et Avicha v'et Imecha versus Ish Imo v'aviv Tira. What's the obvious difference?
Mother first, father.
Correct. The order. Kabed et avicha, first your father, then your mother. And here, you should revere first your mother, then your father. So Rashi's all over. The drasha from Chazal, it's very famous in number 2. Ishimo v'aviv tira'u. Kan hikdim eim la'av. In this example, mommy comes first. Why?
My mother yelled at me a lot more than my father.
You're ruining the drasha. Lefi shegalui lefanav. You obviously had an unusual upbringing. Because Chazal say, lefi shegalui lefanav shehaben yoreet aviv yoter me'imo. It's clear that a son, let's use the word fear here, a son fears his father more than his mother. So therefore, so what's the implication? Because naturally, you fear your father more than your mother, the Torah puts your mother first in the pasuk, Ish imo va'aviv tira'u.
My father feared my mother.
Uvichavod hikdim aim la'av. But with respect to kibud avaim, it put the father before the mother. Why? Lefi shegalui lefanav shehabein mechabed et imo yoter me'aviv. Because it's clear that in the natural order of things, you love your mother more than your father. Why? Lefi mipnei shemishadal tobi dvarim. Because she's sweeter to him. Again, I think the way it works is when you're a kid, you know, your mother does everything for you. So you're more grateful and you honor your mother more. Your father is like the disciplinarian, the source of whatever. So it's fascinating. It's such an obvious drasha that Chazal make, that the Torah, understanding human nature, it's the same mitzvah to honor your mother as your father, and it's the same mitzvah to fear your mother as your father. But the Torah switches the order to address what the Torah assumes to be the human condition. And the human condition is, I'm more likely to honor my mother than my father. I'm more likely to fear my father than my mother. So the Torah switches the order so we would know that it applies to both. It's just interesting that, at least in my experience, like love and honoring seem more like synonyms than fear and respect. You know, like, I don't know, is it true you would want to do more things for your mother because your mother does more things for you? Maybe. Maybe. Okay, that's an interesting drasha.
It's a large challenge to take culture from this time.
Correct. That's why I want to be, I agree. I agree. But nevertheless, if it was my diuk, so I would say maybe that's just my experience, that my mother was around all the time when I was a kid, my father went to work, but it's Chazal. So Chazal must have, I think what Chazal is saying, it's not just in this time. Chazal assume, and I think that human nature is such, that you're more likely to love your mother and fear your father. And it's not time bound, and it does not have to do with Asia or North America,
it
whatever.
It goes out of its way to point out the opposite.
So it commands you the opposite, because it thinks you need that commandment more. Okay, now, what's the connection? Next thing in the pasuk that we have to figure out. Why is this mitzvah of Ish Imo v'Aviv Tiro lumped together with Ve'et Shabtotai Tishmoru? Huh? Second Rashi. Excellent question. Second Rashi in number 2, third line. I cleverly bolded it so you could find it. Ve'et Shabtotai Tishmoru. Samach Shmirat Shabbat Lemore Av. The Torah.
Connect,
it's not, is a better word somewhere. Okay, the Torah put next to each other.
Juxtaposed.
I knew we would get it. Okay. The Torah put Shabbos next to Mora'av Lomar. Af al pi shehiz harticha al Mora'av. Even though I told you, you have to listen to and respect and fear your father. Im yomar lecha chalel et ha-shabbat. Al tishmalo. If your father tells you to be Michal Shabbos, don't listen to him. Now, here's the fascinating thing. You could go one of two ways now. You could say, if the Torah bothered to put Shabbos next to Mora'av to tell me that if my father commands me to be Michal Shabbos, I shouldn't listen to him. But what's another possible deal? However, with respect to other mitzvos, perhaps I would have to listen to my father. Right? My father tells me not to do Netilas Yadayim for whatever reason. I'd have to listen to him. So the drush is not that way. V'chein b'sha'ar kol ha-mitzvot. Chazal took Shabbos not as an exception to the rule, but as representative of all mitzvot. So that the rule is, in any clash between a command from your parents and a mitzvah, and l'maisa, that's a mitzvah, whether it's doraisa or drabanan, the drasha becomes that because your parents are chayav to listen to God and to keep Shabbos themselves, they cannot command you to be in violation of a Torah law. There's a bunch of drushos, they all lead to that same point.
Going to a cemetery.
What?
If your father tells you to...
That was the example from Kibud Av V'Aim. Right. But it works in both directions, right? Kibud Av V'Aim, the drusha was, they are also chayav to be mechabed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so therefore they can't overrule God. Here it's a different drusha, but it's the same result.
Why wouldn't we presume that, you know, your little brother has a head injury, so your father says take him to the hospital? I mean, why presume that your father's Mechalek Shabbat?
God forbid, there's no presumption.
Well, they're suggesting that, you know, your father says Mechalek Shabbat. But you have to wonder, why is he saying that? There may be a very good reason. He is your, like your teacher, your Rebbe, the father figure, whom you're giving honor and love to.
No.
You have to ask, well, what's going on? What's the case? And it may be
wrong,
you should listen
but that's
to
the point. The halacha of Mora'av applies even if your father is not your teacher and not your Rebbe and not a person who you would respect Jewishly or halachically. That's exactly, I think it's consistent with the drasha. Of course, if your father tells you to take your brother to the hospital on Shabbos, you take your brother to the hospital, both as a mitzvah of listening to your father, but just because pikuach nefesh is dafka
kol torah. You know, so you listen to your father or not. It's kind of like,
no, but
yeah, he's teaching you.
He's teaching you should go and take him.
Right.
So, of course, pikuach nefesh.
It's an. I would say this. I wouldn't want to use one of my children's health as an educational opportunity. You know, to teach my other. No, you need practice. You need practice driving the car. If your brother's dying. Listen, this is a good opportunity, right? We don't normally think that way. Right?
Hopefully, it's not that serious.
Bruce, of course, being a master parent, you know, he could teach many, many examples in one thing. But for the rest of us mortals, we just have to go with. Okay. So, but the assumption is, and I think it goes to your point. In this case, the assumption is that. See, you could have said as follows. This is maybe the better drasha. A father who would tell his son to be Michal Shabbos should not be listened to, right? The mitzvah doesn't apply to such a father, but that's not the drasha. The drasha is the opposite. The mitzvah applies, but it's beaten out by the obligation to keep the Torah. Maybe you're actually onto something, but it's the opposite direction. Okay, now, let's just, practically speaking, let's put some bones on this, some meat on this is the better. Okay, sorry. And figure out what's the difference between kibud av va'em and Mora Ava'im. So that's the Gemara's quote in a million places in source number 3, Lamed Aleph Amud Beis in Kiddushin. Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Ezehu Mora, or Mora, what does it mean to revere or to fear? The Ezehu Kibud. What's the difference between honoring and, let's go with revering? So Mora, Lo Omeid Bimekomo, you don't stand in his special standing spot. Velo Yoshe Bimekomo, you don't sit in his seat. Velo soter et divarav, you don't contradict him. Velo machrio, this is really an interesting one. Machrio, Rashi explains, is your father's in an argument with somebody, you don't chime in, I think my father's right. That's also considered to be disrespectful, because the assumption is that, right, that's the assumption.
What's the assumption?
That your father's right.
Of course,
when you
right
say
right.
My father,
right. What kind of question?
But when you say my father's right, that too seems like, you know, disrespectful. Because, right.
Or that he doesn't need your
affirmation
of him.
Some form of that. That's just an interesting one. Now, kibud, ma'achilu mashke, feeding and giving drink, malbishu mechaseh, clothing and covering, machnisu motzi, taking him in, taking him out. So it seems pretty obvious, that's what we said at the beginning, that one is, it strikes, even though, again, let's be honest, they're both mitzvot aseis, they're counted as mitzvot aseis, but one is active and one is passive, right? The halachic definition of kibud av va'em is doing things for your parents. The halachic definition of mora av va'em is not doing things that would be disrespectful of your parents. Now, could we think of examples where, you know, reverence could be expressed in action? I suppose, right? That's where it gets a little hard. Again, you know, honoring your parents is doing things for them. Fearing your parents or revering your parents or having awe for your parents is refraining from doing things that might otherwise be disrespectful. Okay? You know, so how are you mekayim the mitzvah saseh? When I grew up, it was clear that the head of the table in the dining room was my father's seat. In my life, I never sat in that. In the kitchen, where there were less seats, and also, to be honest with you, my father didn't eat with us that often during the week.
Free for all, huh?
So no, you didn't sit there, but then there was like a thing, if there weren't enough chairs, you know, Abba would let, or my mother would paskin, that, you know, Abba would be fine with you, but in the dining room, never. Okay, so, you know, if I say to myself, like, okay, how do I want to be mekayim the mitzvah of Mora'av? Right? It's mitzvah saseh. So do I go to my parents' house, you know, and not sit in the seat? It's an odd thing, right? You know, my father's talking, so I sit quietly. It's hard to know how to be mekayim the mitzvah saseh, because it's a mitzvah saseh that's fulfilled by refraining. It really should have been a lotase, but just because it's written in the Torah, it's a unique mitzvah. It's written ishimov aviv tira'u, but it's not an emotion, right? So it's how does it become a mitzvah? It becomes a mitzvah by refraining to do certain actions. Isn't refraining from doing certain actions the classic lotase? So the answer is not in this case. For some bizarre reason, in this case, it's not that if you sat in your father's seat, you're over a lo tase. You sat in your father's seat, you're mevatel a mitzvah sase of ishimova
vivtira. It's interesting when the examples in the Gemara about not sitting in your dad's place, or not interrupting him, or not trying to back him up, they're all to do with the father. Sort of a contradiction to what we said, which is, you know, you should try and back up your mom.
No, I think the Gemara just writes that way. Honestly, I really think that it's clear from the Pasuk, it's clear in the Gemara.
But don't we think of it in our minds, you know, the picture in our minds is not sitting in your dad's place?
Yes, that you're exactly right. Exactly. So that, maybe that's an issue. Like, why doesn't my mother have, a special seat? The story goes in my family, when my grandparents, my grandfather was, like a German Jew, whatever. My grandparents, when they bought a dining room set, my grandfather had them take the arms off of the second chair. Because only the father has an armchair. I don't know if it's true or not, my grandfather loved my grandmother, but, he was in charge.
When I was in Denver, so I went to New York, and my father passed away.
Okay.
So I make the Seder.
Okay.
So I didn't want to sit in his seat.
Mm.
So my mother said,
"So
you have to sit."
So we have to.
You're the head of the house now. Uh-huh. You do it.
So we have to get there. The real question is, my mother.
I wouldn't do it myself.
Is your father's seat, like Michael Jordan's number? Does it get retired when he dies? you have to put the seat someplace else, right? So I think that we have to get there, but I think the answer is Mora'av ends at death. Now, it might be awkward, and it might be funny, and maybe you wouldn't, but I think we'll see that Mora'av ends at death, and if Mora'av is sitting in the seat, then maybe you could.
But my grandfather died, his seat was empty for a year.
What happened?
Okay, fine. It would be hard, right away to sit in the seat. But, one second. So that's not Mora. It's strange, but it's not counted as Mora. It's counted as kibbutz.
But the examples given here are doing something for someone, not just doing something yourself. For your father.
Right, okay.
Right? Doing something for
him. But don't you stand for him?
No, but doing something involving the other person.
Okay.
Not just doing something within your group.
Okay.
Now, it seems like it would be a Mora item.
But it's not. It's a strange thing, but it's not. You're trying to limit it to not just an action, but an action that physically benefits another person. I think the halacha somehow expanded it beyond that.
Just if kibbutz is doing things for the parent, physical actions, how do those? That's what ends with the parent's death, because you can no longer do those physical things like.
Right, but since it's but I'm saying that's why we know that the definition was expanded. Because believe that a simple thing like quoting your father and saying Zichrono Livracha is the key of mitzvah saseh of kibbutz avayim.
Wouldn't there be more of the reverence?
But it's not.
So you're.
But it's not. Again, but it's an action as opposed to,
speaking is never considered an action.
Yeah, it is. Not for narrow halachic purposes, but for conceptual purposes, of course it is. You could have made an argument that if somebody quoted your father after his death, and it's something you disagreed with, and you refrain from saying, I disagree with my father on that, there could be some mora. But the halacha is otherwise, and let's see if we could get there.
Didn't Rashi's grandson disagree with his grandfather?
But that's in learning, all the time.
It's about
right. But that, his grandson was the Rashbam. And the Rashbam, is an interesting, it's a good story. I heard Professor Lukshin, he's like the world, I think that's his name, Lakshin. He's like the world's expert in Rashbam. He's amazing. Martin Lakshin. See, I didn't make it up. He's married to Bob Kugel.
He married into the Kugel family.
Okay. I made that joke already.
No joke. Yes, and?
Okay, and so the Rashbam, listen to this.
Yeah.
It's a well-known thing that the Rashbam wrote that my grandfather told me that if he would write his Perish again, it would be more Pshuto Shel Mikra than Rashi quotes a lot of Medrashim. Right, again, there's a certain truth to the fact that when Rashi wrote it, all there really was Onkelos and Medrashim. Mm-hmm. So Rashi did that. So Professor Lakshin, again, who's devoted his life to this, he's not a big fan of the accuracy of that statement. Not God forbid he thinks the Rashbam made it up. But the way he says it, how many times does a father, a grandfather, who's old, say something that makes his grandson feel good? Yeah, you're right, I would have. He doesn't think it's true. He thinks Rashi believed in the way that he wrote his Perush, and he was just being nice. Like he says, I'm sure he said it, I just don't know how much he meant it. And, the Rashbam's his grandson, so he made him feel good. Okay? Just an interesting thing. Now, let's read the mitzvah in the Rambam. Source number 4, Sefer HaMitzvos, Asei Reish Yud Aleph, says the Rambam, V'haMitzvah HaReish Yud Aleph, number 211, He shet sivanu lira me'av va'en. Okay, we are commanded, let's just go with fear for whatever reason, with nothing else to go with, ava'em. And now he says, v'hu sheyitnaheg imahem kiminhag mi shehu yarei mimenu. You should act towards them or with them the way you would act towards someone who you fear. Now, here's important. Who's someone who you would fear? So the Rambam says, Shiyani Sheu, Kimo HaMelech. Right? So this becomes, it's different, it becomes less than respect, because you don't stand for the king out of respect.
Out of fear.
You stand out of fear.
You don't do it. Right.
Right. Okay. So, I just think it's interesting. He doesn't call on, like, your Rebbe as the example.
Yeah.
He calls on the king. Which I think speaks volumes to what's the substance here. Come on, Melech.
But you don't have a king anymore.
Really? Luckily, we have cable TV. So we know what it used to be like.
But we
have. Do you stand to be with Walter?
Kimo HaMelech.
No, I wouldn't stand up.
Well, you'd be wrong. V'yelech imahem kiderech sheyelech imi sheyifached mimenu. You should interact with them the way you would interact with someone who you fear, who could punish you. V'yare mehagia lo mimenu ma sheyimas. And you're afraid that this person will visit upon you something that you would very much not enjoy, like losing your head, or going to jail, or what.
Do that to
you. Okay? V'hu amaro yitaleh, ar mitzvah, ar posuk, ish imo v'aviv tirao. V'lashon sifra, Ezehu Moreh, this is what we saw in the Gemara in Kiddushin, lo yoshei bimekomo, v'lo medaber bimekomo, v'lo soteret divarav. Okay? So, the Rambam, the Chiddush in the Rambam, and it's not just his, but the Chiddush in the Rambam is, when you're looking for a model of fear, right, the model is a king or somebody you fear, much less than somebody you respect. Now you'd go, but it's weird, it's my parents. But the answer is, there is a mitzvah of kibud. It's not as odd as it sounds. Because since there's already a mitzvah saseh of kibud, the mitzvah saseh of mora can completely cover all the bases by, instead of picking somebody who you revere, it picks as a model somebody who you fear. Okay? Which basically covers all your bases. On the one hand, you're supposed to work towards love and respect and honoring and all those things. That's the mitzvah of kibud av va'em. On the other hand, you have to act towards them as you would act towards somebody who you don't respect at all. You simply fear them. And your whole purpose right now, when the king passes, your whole purpose to bowing and looking down, all you're thinking is, just let him pass by. Right? God forbid he should notice me, because if he notices me, I'm going to be in trouble.
And that's how you should feel towards your father.
Again, but because there's two mitzvahs. That's what I'm saying.
Fear
we right. Okay. I'm saying if there was one mitzvah, we would all be offended by this because it doesn't sound right for a parent-child relationship. What? But there is another mitzvah, and this balances it, which is why I think the model of Shabbos is so perfect. Because on the one hand, you go, wait, the purpose on all God wants me to do on Shabbos is stay in bed, right? and not turn the light on and not do any malachos and not violate any of the prohibition, that doesn't sound very fulfilling. The answer is no, that's only half of the equation. The other half of the equation is Zachot Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosho, is making Kiddush and having a meal and dressing up and having joy. And the thing is, here's the interesting thing. They really do, in certain ways, impede one on the other. For example, when you have a meal on Shabbos, that involves doing things that you could make mistakes about and be Mechal Shabbos. Right? What's the easiest way to be Shomer Shabbos? The easiest way is stay in bed in the dark, you know, no timers, no anything, right. And 25 hours later, boom, you know that you did it. What's the harder way to do it? The harder way to do it is to set timers on your lights and to have a blech and you have it goes on and off and you want to have soup at night and you have to put it on before Shabbos and you want to have cholent during the day. Wait, why don't we ban all those things because they're all risks towards Shomer? The answer is yeah, because they have to work together. And I think like the deeper point here just in the Rambam is that's exactly right. The more, you know, I know this from experience, the more that you do for your parents, the less awe that you have. You know, certainly when parents age and you're talking about doing like basic fundamental tasks for them, at some point, you know, the respect goes away because you're doing this. And I think, you know, the Torah shows up and says the mitzvah doesn't exist on its own. You know, and it cuts both ways. On the one hand, you say, well, maybe it should have been one mitzvah that has these two components in them. We'll still have to deal with that. But I think that's exactly the point, that the fear aspect of your parents really balances out. The more that you do kavod, right, the more you need mora. I think when you're a kid, you need mora much less. You're so dependent on your parents. You know, you would just do everything anyway. But as you get older, I think mora comes in. Okay? So, there are two separate mitzvahs in the Rambam. Now, we're good? Okay. Now, let's look and see if we could still try to distinguish between the two so that they'll make some more sense. Look at number five. The Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim says as follows. Perek Vav Halacha Vav. Echad ha'ish ve'echad ha'isha chayavin b'more v'kavod. Both, you know, sons and daughters are equally commanded in the mitzvah of fearing parents. However,
sons and
why does it say ish and isha instead of ben or bat?
Yeah.
Okay, I think this is how the Torah writes. I don't think there's a deal there. Ish imo v'aviv tiro. I guess because the answer is we are, right? It can't be otherwise. If you have a parent, so you're a son or a daughter. So I guess maybe you're right. I don't think it ever says like ben or bat in the Torah. It's in Zmiros, right?
But,
right, so I think ish, you know, again, the drasha of ish, well, first of all, you could say, right, maybe there would have been some idea that if you said ben or bat, maybe it's only ketanim, so it had to say...
You're
it
always
in,
a son.
Huh?
You're always a son.
Okay, but you could say so a mitzvah could expire with age. Let's see. Echad ish... Anyway, this is the Rambam. He just...
Mora is okay. I mean, kavod is used. Mora, I'm not afraid of my father.
I respect them.
Good. And everything else, but I don't. I'm not afraid.
Excellent.
Of him.
You've made that point before.
Yeah.
As we say in court, duly noted. Okay. Echad ha'ish ve'echad ha'isha chayavim b'mora v'kavod. Ella, but there's a difference. Sheha'ish yesh biyado lasot v'ha'isha ein biyado lasot. Why? Shaharei rishut acherim aleha. We discussed this 2 weeks ago. Meaning, a woman could be prohibited by her husband from doing things for her parents.
Not
even
anymore.
Now
you're afraid of your wife.
even though it's against the Torah.
Huh?
It's strange. Your father can't turn her
right, but it wouldn't be. I think the Rambam understands it not in the sense of against the Torah, but in the sense of priorities. That
your husband comes first.
Right. That your husband comes first. By the way, the din is if you look in like Gazar Haredi books, okay, husband comes before children. Right? Like the halacha, yes, the halacha is, you know, that your daughter needs help with her homework,
yeah.
But your husband just came home from Kailel and wants his dinner.
That comes first.
Right? That comes first. No. So it's not a question.
Doesn't it?
Well, you said bizarre.
You're not.
Sorry. But the issue is, just be clear, Bruce, the issue is not. I think you're right. I think it's not that the husband prohibits you from doing something for your parents. It's that the husband wants something when your parents want something. And so he wins. Okay? Lefikach. One second. Lefikach. Im nit garsha o nit almana. Hareshnehem shavim. We saw this last time, right? If she gets divorced, then she no longer has a husband, then she has the same obligation towards her parents as does a man towards his parents. Okay? So let's see if we... Now, what's the problem with this halacha? Let's think for a second. The problem with this halacha is, what does it imply about the mitzvah of more ava'en? Huh?
No, more, but it's conditional.
Not that it's but it's conditional. Why is it conditional?
Because if she happens to be, if the daughter happens to be married,
right,
she may or may not be able to fulfill the mitzvah.
Yes, but it's also inconsistent with what we've said all along. If the mitzvah of Mora Avaim is completely passive, there could never be a contradiction. Right? If the whole mitzvah is don't sit in your father's seat, so what could your husband want of you that would stop you from not sitting in your father's seat? Right? People, the Achronim point out that in this Rambam, it sounds like maybe we got the definition slightly wrong, because there must be some positive element, some active element in the mitzvah. Everybody see that? It's just an interesting idea. Flip over. Now, the reason why people quote this in the Rambam is because what the Shulchan Aruch does to it. Look at number 6. Simon Reish Mem Se'iv Yud Zayin, says the Mechaber, Echad Ha'ish Ve'echad Ha'isha Shavin B'Kavod U'B'Morah Shel Ava'ein. What we've seen till now. Men and women have the same mitzvah. Ela She'ha'isha Ein B'yada La'asot She'him Mishubedet L'Ba'ala. However, right, a woman might not have the mitzvah all the time because her first obligation is to her husband. Now the mechaber adds words that don't appear in the Rambam. Lefikach he pitura bikavod av va'em ba'odan nesua. Wow. He says, therefore, she's potur from kibud ava'em, but not what? But not mora ava'em. Right? The Rambam makes it sound... The Rambam makes it sound like there's no difference. She could be petura from kavod and petura from mora. But in the Mechaber says that's not true. Because mora avaim is completely passive. And if it's completely passive, there's no hechitim, so there's no situation in which the husband says, I guess unless... It's bizarre. Could the husband say, I want you to sit in Tati's seat?
Yeah, I'm demanding.
Right? The answer is no. You know why? Because sons-in-laws are chayiv in kibud avayim. And presumably they're chayiv in mora avayim as well to their fathers-in-laws, and therefore it would be a violation of Torah law if he told her to do that. But again, you see interestingly that within, the Rambam said something that seemed to set off alarm bells for the Mechaber. Because the Rambam seemed to say that mora avayim might be different for a woman, because she's under the thumb of her husband. And the Mechaber comes along and says, no, that's kibud ava'im. But mora ava'im, which is completely passive, there's never a contradiction between your respect, your obligation to take care of your husband and your obligation to show respect for your parents.
How do we know that a son-in-law is...
That's the halacha.
How do we know that?
I don't remember the limud. But in Shulchan Aruch, that's the din. I suppose you would say he's a form of a son. It's unlikely that it's a diuk in the English, but...
All the things you owe your own parent, you owe your in-law.
Sorry to tell you.
I don't remember we discussed this 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, because it's not that much fun.
You can't tell your mother-in-law jokes.
My mother-in-law lets me tell mother-in-law jokes, but I don't tell them anyway. I don't find them that funny. Okay.
Well, isn't this whole idea about the woman having to prioritize in favor of her husband?
Yeah.
Isn't this the basis also maybe of mitzvot aseh shavuot?
So anything you say there, you would be making up. It doesn't mean it's wrong. I'm saying this seriously. Okay. The Gemara doesn't tell you why. right? The drasha is, you know, woman's patur mitzvah shezman my grandma. More often I hear the kid thing than the husband thing, right? That her, you know, her obligation is to her kids.
That's what we're talking about, priorities in terms of...
Right, but it's your husband is never as... Your husband never needs welfare. I used to think this was true, now I don't. That your husband doesn't need his wife as much as children need their mother. But I think at a certain point, you know, it might change.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. Okay, let's look at Sefer HaChinuch number 7. Just the same point. One second. He says, V'noheget b'chol makom v'chol zman b'zchayim u'nekevot. Right? The mitzvah of Mora Ava'im applies all the time, men and women. V'over alal v'hekel b'yiratam. A person who did not show them the proper awe. B'tel asei zeh. Okay, he's in violation of this mitzvah. Ella, im kein asa midata avu b'mechilato. Here's an interesting thing.
They can
be mochel. Here's the din. Sha'av shamachal al kivodo, kivodo machol. As opposed to harav shamachal al kivodo, ein kivodo machol, because that's institutional. Hamelech shamachal al kivodo, ein kivodo machol. But ha'av or ha'ein shemachal al kvodo kvodo machul, meaning your father could give you permission to sit in his seat,
right.
And it doesn't undermine the institution of parenthood because he gave you permission. Again, interesting that the model is the king who can't give you permission, right? But the father can give you permission. Now, people point to the Sefer HaChinuch who doesn't distinguish at all between sons and daughters with respect to the mitzvah of Mora, right, as saying, yeah, he's like the Rambam, that somehow, and I'm sorry, he's like the Mechaber against the Rambam, that since Mora is all passive, it doesn't matter that her first obligation is to her husband, right? She can still fulfill the mitzvah of Mora the same way her brother can, because it's all passive and it's all by not violating. Okay, now, yes.
My wife now travels back and forth to see her parents, who are not well, regularly.
Okay.
Often. And her father will always call and ask me or thank me for loaning my wife.
Okay.
And my wife will always ask, is it okay? But
okay.
I'd be.
So you're a tzaddik.
I'd be very foolish if I would say, no, you can't go.
Okay.
Or, and I call my father on Marty.
You could say like things like I could see you going, but who's going to cut my meat while you're away?
Well, you know. She prepares things in advance.
Okay, so
I'm punted from all of that because my parents and in-laws aren't dead.
What a lucky. You're not. So you. The sad thing is, you can't be mekayem that mitzvah.
I never knew my father-in-law before. He's dead before I married my wife.
The number of things I could say right now are endless. Okay.
You're speeding it along.
Yeah, I know. You're just going to get me in trouble. Like on the off chance that like my mother-in-law listens to the shiur.
Did you name
trouble.
Your dog after him?
Okay, stop.
I learned what we learned from David calling Shaul his father.
That's where we learn.
That's where we learned that. Yeah,
excellent.
Father.
Okay. Yeah, that worked out well. Just goes to show you can suck up as much as you want. He still wants to kill you.
Yira also is the Machaber also holds the obligation to Yira as well as
no only with respect to Yira. Look at number 6. Lefik. I think so. Look, it's. I think so. I'm pretty sure. Okay. Now, just a technical lumdus point, but it's interesting. Look at number 8. We did this mitzvah, you know, more than a month ago. It's the mitzvah, what? It's the mitzvah of kibud and moreh for teachers, for rav. So look at number 8. The mitzvah reish tes, he shetzivonu lechabed hachachamim. Okay, to show honor to chachamim, v'lakum mipneihem u'legadel otam v'hu amaro mipnei seva takum. Okay. Right, remember we did that mitzvah. For Lashon, we just never noticed one thing. Again, it has to be the type of standing that substantively represents respect. Again, the example we used was that if an old man walks on the bus, when all the seats are taken, you stand up for him, and then you sit back down, and he has to stand the whole time. That's not kima sheyesh bahidur, right? Because that's not, you know, that's formalistic. respect, but not substantive respect. But at the end of the halacha, he says, "V'yidchayev lo im hakavod hamora," included in the mitzvah asay of kavod for old people and for teachers is the mitzvah asay of mora. So everybody points out the obvious, which is why in this mitzvah does the Rambam count it as one? There's one mitzvah, and the mitzvah is to be mechabed and to show respect slash fear your teacher or older people. That's one mitzvah. With respect to parents, they're two separate mitzvahs. Okay? Again, I think the answer is obvious. I think that they really, with respect to parents, they are really two different mitzvahs in the sense that when you honor a teacher, right, or when you fear a teacher, the model for fear is not the king. The model for fear there is the respect that you have in the mitzvah taseh. You understand the difference? With respect to, they're much closer to each other, kavod for an old person or for a rebbe, and mora for an old person or for a rebbe, are much closer to each other. The kavod is because of who they are, and the mora is because of who they are, right? Because they're positive influences, because they're role models. But with respect to parents, it's different. The model for fear of parents is fear of punishment from a king. And that's far away from the mitzvah asay of honoring. That's in a different league. And I think that's the answer to the question. That the Rambam separates honoring and fearing parents because they really are two completely different things. And in a way, inconsistent things. Right? Because, you know, you don't change the king's diaper. God, if it ever comes to that point in your life, right? It's different. But with respect to a Rebbe, it's all honor. There's just ways of honoring positively. There are ways of honoring by not sitting in his seat and by not standing up, etc., etc. Okay, last little point on the Lumdus side. Look at number 9. The Radvaz in Hilchos Mamrim, everybody points this out. And I think he's really emphasizing the difference between the two sides of the mitzvah. He says, V'hadavar barur, it's clear, Shehachai mitzta'er, a living person feels pain when he's disrespected. Vahameit, gam sinato gam kinato kvar avda. But a person who's dead, his anger and his jealousy have already passed. What he's saying is as follows. The mitzvah of kibud, which is honoring, what he's saying is, the mitzvah of mora, when you sit in your father's seat, his feelings are hurt. Right? When you contradict him, his feelings are hurt. That expires at death. The assumption is that at death, you know, you can no longer hurt the person's feelings. But the flip side of that is that the assumption is you can still honor a person after their death. And that's why, another reason why there are two separate mitzvahs in the Rambam. Because the mitzvah of Mora Avan Aim stops at death. But the mitzvah of Kibud Avaim continues. Now again, why is Mora Avaim stop at death? So you see here in the Radvaz, at least, that his understanding is that it's actually, when you refrain from showing respect, you hurt the person. They're insulted. It works off the assumption that the person will be hurt by your behavior, and this bizarre idea that the person cannot be hurt after death. But the other mitzvah seems more focused on us. Right, we are dressing, we are feeding, we are giving drink, we are honoring, and that can continue after death. Even though, again, intuitively, I would have said the opposite. After death, there's no what need can I fulfill for my parents? So it shows you that the Radvaz sees it differently. The Radvaz sees the mitzvah saseh of kibud avaim as being not so much fulfilling needs as being a mitzvah on us to actively honor our parents, which would mean. Interestingly, which would mean that, yeah, your father could reach across the table and get the Coke. But it's a mitzvah for you, and it would not be a big tircha for him. But it's a mitzvah on you to reach out and give him the Coke. Right? Because it's not so much needs-based as honor-based. But with respect to Mora, there, if you do something wrong, you've hurt the feelings, you've disrespected. And for whatever reason, we think that that stops at death. Yes.
If your father predeceased your mother, she might be very upset to hear you not give the proper comments about your father, her husband.
That's interesting.
It hurts her feelings just to hear that. Or
okay, so then
who may also be offended.
It wouldn't be that hard to then say that a form of kibud avayim after your there's a form of kibud avayim after your father dies and your mother's still alive, of honoring your father and not disrespecting your father. I assume yes. So it's painful for your mother to hear you know say something mean about your father. I agree.
So today also we have a world where parents are divorced, or that your father could have been a Christian, who was. Or just a bad guy, and we have all these cases where do these rules still apply?
Yes, yes. For the most part, they do. You know, the din is the son of a mamzer has to respect his father. Now, his father made him a mamzer. It gets really bad to be a mamzer. You know, we throw the phrase around. Okay, I throw the phrase around, but you know, it's not a good thing, and nevertheless, so the answer is, you know, even if your parents are, you see, the Christian thing's a harder one, because technically speaking, it's not really your parent, you know.
Yeah, but you're still supposed to have a couple of food.
Right, but it might not narrowly be kibud avayim, it might be more in the sense of ethics. I have my parents' friend, he was basically raised by non-Jews. You know, they never adopted him, whatever, and the psak halacha he got is that he could sit shiva for them. You know, you're not in violation of anything if you know, it's a sign of respect. Like, you know, avelus is narrowly defined halachically, but it can be broadly understood in terms of human emotion and, you know. Okay, let's knock off two last really interesting things. Says the Sfarno in number 10. Ishi mova aviv tirau. You have to back up for a second and realize that most mefarshim think that the beginning of kedoshim is a parallel to the Aseres Hadibros. Okay? So, you know, Kedoshim to you is recognizing God, right? Ki Kadosh Hashem Elokeichem is not to say God's name in vain. And then, you know, then you have Kibud Avaim, you have Shab Tzotai Tishmor. So the Sforno says, Ishimov Avivtiro, Lahorot Shalo Yihya Kavod Bohem Al Ofen, Shiyihya. Oh, I'm sorry, this is a much bigger point. This, I think, is significant. What's the mitzvah of Ishimov Avivtiro? Lahorot, to teach you. Shalo Yihya Hakavod Bohem. Al ofen shehiyeh libo gas bahem. You shouldn't do the mitzvah saseh of kibud avaim in a way that makes you disrespect them, which is a risk when your parents get old. You know, they have so many needs that you're fulfilling, so you might fulfill them in a way like, you need me, okay, fine, you know, here's your lunch. Afal pi sheyechabdei b'ma'achol uv'mishteh uv'malbush. Even though you're doing everything for them. There's someone who can serve, you know, filet mignon to his parents, but he does it in a way that's matrid them in ha'olam, that hurts them. Your morah for them, or your kibud, what he's doing is, in a way, he's making it harder for us. He's making one mitzvah. Right. He's making one mitzvah, but which we don't hold, which Ram doesn't hold like. But the substantive point is a much bigger one. He's saying, the more you do kibud avayim, the more likely you are to show less respect to your parents and less awe. Right? If you have to pick your father up out of bed, so the Sforno says, that's what mora avayim comes to tell you. That the way that you do kibud avayim should be the way you would do it for the kid. Even though, you know, your parents are not the king and queen anymore, they need all your help with basic needs. He says it's to explain. Now again, let's be clear. That makes it more likely that it should be one mitzvah, not two. But the point remains. Okay, last one. The Rashbam says, as Shab Sosai Tishmoru, Kishem Sheba Aseret Hadibrot Ne'amar Kibud Av Va'ein Eitzel Shmirat Shabbat. He says exactly the same thing. How does it work in the Aseres HaDibros? First you have Shemar Zachar Yom HaShemot L'Kadosho, then you have Kaveh Tavicha Vet Imecha. Says Rashbam, so it's repeated here. Shehishva Kibudam L'Chvod HaMakom Avkan Samcho HaKatov L'Fi Pshuto. That we always, the natural juxtaposition is Shabbos and Kibud Avayim. Why? Because Shabbos, it strikes me the way it works here, Shabbos is like the ultimate expression of respect for God, because God created the world in 7 days. Therefore, Kibud Avayim is next to it to make that same point, that the respect you have for your parents should be akin to the respect you have for God. In the end, I think where we come out is that even though Mora Avaim is technically a mitzvah saseh, we would think of it as a lo taseh. And the model really is Zachor Yom HaShabbat LeKadosho, Shamar Yom HaShabbat LeKadosho, right? Doing and not doing, right? Refraining from doing malacha and honoring Shabbos. And the Sfarno's point really, I think, is the main point, which is the more, you know, they are often inconsistent. Again, if you have warm food on Shabbos, you're bumping up against the potential prohibition of Shamar Yom HaShabbat LeKadosho. But the Torah wants you to do both. And the Torah wants you to do, you know, the hardest thing, which is to do both with respect to your parents, which is to honor them as if you love them and you feel close to them and they have needs and you're excited to fulfill them, which is the antithesis of your relationship with the president or king, because they seem like all their needs are filled. But at the same time, to revere them and or maybe even fear them in a way that the model is the president. And again, I think that, you know, those two things seem inconsistent, but this is one of those examples where the Torah tells you, yeah, they seem inconsistent, but we think you could do them. I think there are many, I once talked about this, there are many inconsistencies in the Torah that I think the Torah puts in on purpose so that you can play out which value is more important, which value is less important. And I think Zachar and Shamar, which Chazal see as being inconsistent, are both necessary to fulfill your Shabbos and to have your relationship with your, and similarly, Kibud and Mor with respect to your parents are, but they're sometimes inconsistent, but we have to find a way to synthesize them, and both together, you know, equal our obligation towards our parents. Shkach.
Chazal is no strange concept of Ahava here and there.
Right.
Command
to
say love your parents also.
I mean,
into the universe, constellation of
Kibud
and this, is it more, is it less, is it natural, is it not?
No, the better form of the question is you have a mitzvah to love God. Right? And if that's your model, right?
They don't use God, they use no.
I agree.
Oh, okay.
I completely agree. Maybe in the end. No, but ask it the opposite way. Where's the mitzvah of kibbutz of God? And the answer is, God has no needs. Therefore, there cannot be a mitzvah of kibbutz. Right? So the model, it could be that kibbutz for parents is the closest thing we have of the mitzvah of avas Hashem. Right? Because the mitzvah of avas hager doesn't express itself in feeding them and clothing them, right? It really is more of an attitude. So it could be that you may be onto something where the mitzvah of kibbutz, if I had to find a parallel, if I thought about it again or I gave you a shiur again, I would work on avas Hashem as a model for kibbutz hori.
Well, I remember how my parents related with their parents and how their parents spoke about their parents, and it seems that in this generation we're very different, and I'm wondering if we're not over something by not.
Look, there is a thing about familiarity. When I was a kid, all of my parents, their first name were Mr. and Mrs.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Okay.
Even in the early schools, you call the rabbi the first name.
Well, you call him Harav.
Yeah, you put Rav, you don't just say, yeah.
But it seems the kids.
No question, there's a balance, there's a delicate balance between familiarity and comfort. Mm-hmm. Look, when you see examples of kids who really fear their parents.
Yes, it stands like out. Normal. It stands out.
Because it gets, but it might also get in the way of people. You know, what's the safe side? I just want nothing to do with my father. That way I'll never, I live in fear of him. But that's probably not the way.
Right. Thank you, William.
Thank you.